Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. According to Merriam-Webster, the first known use of the word equivocate was in 1590. The dictionary further states the word has a couple of meanings: to use language especially with intent to deceive, and to avoid committing oneself in what one says.
Playwright Bill Kane says there is a further meaning, that equivocation can be a way to get to the deeper truth. How we use what appears to be the language of lies to tell a more profound truth is at the core of his 2009 play of the same name.
Equivocation opened at Next Act Theater this past weekend. I reached Kane at his home in New York and asked him to set the scene.
It's a play about William Shakespeare. And Shakespeare, at the beginning of the play, is confronted by Robert Cecil, who is the Prime Minister of England. And Cecil wants him to write a play for the king, which was Shakespeare's job since he was the king's playwright. But the story that Cecil wants him to tell is a propaganda story to support the king. And Shakespeare knows that it is not the truth, and he's given a choice: tell the truth and be killed, or lie and make a fortune. So those are his options. It's a play about telling truth in a difficult time.
How did you come to setting it that way? It is such a brilliant way of exploring that very thing of, like, how do you tell truth to power and still save your skin?
That's a good summary of it. I wasn't looking for a play when I wrote it, but the play came to me when I was in London on a vacation, and I went to the Tower of London, where I hadn't been for years, and I saw the rack. And over the rack, an instrument of torture, there was a sign, an official government sign, that said no one was ever tortured in the Tower because of religion. And technically, that's true. People were tortured because if you had a different religion, this was treason. If you were Catholic in a Protestant time, this was treason. But I thought, you know what? This is a lie, and we have to be very careful with truth these days. It was the time of weapons of mass destruction, so we were living in a war caused by a lie, as we're living now in a time in which lies seem to be the baseline rather than truth. So it began to occur to me that Shakespeare always had to figure out what he was going to say. Would he tell the king's truth or the real truth? And that's how the play came about.
Yes, and how he navigates that. And Robert Cecil is such a wonderful antagonist to him because while you could easily see him as the mouthpiece of the king, which he was officially, he also speaks a lot of truth as he is not speaking truth.
Cecil was the architect of modern England. He was a ruthless man, as was his father, Lord Burghley. And they put together, in fact, modern England. And they did it by killing the opposition, by silencing the opposition. But I don't want to get too historical on this. The play plays, I think, when you're watching it, like a modern play. Did you have that feeling?
Yes, very much so, just from reading it, even though these are historical figures.
Yes. So I don't want to get people too concerned about what they have to know about the gunpowder plot or any of that. It plays as a modern situation where a modern artist is trying to travel his way through, navigate his way through the lives of his time.
The other supporting characters, and it is a cast of six, but four of those actors play multitudes.
And my poor actors.
Yes. You gave them a lot of work to do, but I imagine as an actor it must be a lot of fun because you get to move lightning quick between lots of different points of view. And at the basis of all of this is a theater company trying to survive. And that hasn't changed in 500 years.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Theater companies are wonderful places, and I know you've been part of theater companies, but they're ragtag, they're sexual, they're funny, they're communities, they're families, and they have community fights and family fights. But somehow, they have to pull together, because every night at 8, you have to get on the stage and do something. So it's a community that's pressed to the breaking point, but finally holds its unity.
And they do it in such an interesting way that the folks who are the actors, not the parts that they're playing, but the
right.
actors, have such a wonderful, you've written such a beautiful telling of all of those things that a theater company is, that camaraderie, to quote Shakespeare, that band of brothers.
Yes. I ran a Shakespeare company for 7 years, and we performed in rep. So all of the theatrical stuff, none of it is made up. It all comes from the experience of living the Shakespearean world day and night for 7 years.
Well, and for people who don't know what rep is, that's where you've got one play performing at night and you're rehearsing another one in the afternoon that will go up and rotate through.
Yes, and not only just rehearsing two different plays, but you might be at Boston Shakespeare, which was the company. By the end of the season, we'd be doing four plays in rep. So you might be doing Hamlet, Winter's Tale, Comedy of Errors, and Romeo and Juliet. And the Shakespeare's company did that as well. And one of my favorite nights was an actor came in, and he threw the door of the theater open, looked at the set and said, "Okay, Hamlet tonight," and then went down and got in costume.
Because he wasn't sure which one he was supposed to do.
Had no idea. So, and like in this particular play, they're dealing with Hamlet and Macbeth and Richard III. They don't know what play they're in.
Right. And of course, Macbeth, or as we say in the theater, the Scottish play.
I'm not much on superstitions.
Right. A lot of theater people are.
Absolutely.
And so that's part of what's woven in here, too, is that we almost don't get Macbeth.
Right.
We get the gunpowder plot or whatever it's going to be called. Or we almost do, but we don't.
Well, to speak more seriously for a minute, there was an event in England, and it's the founding event of modern England, and it's called the Gunpowder Plot, in which a group of Catholics intended to blow up King James and the entire Parliament. Now, whether or not that actually happened, or certainly the details of how it happened, are in dispute. But Shakespeare wrote a play that was a gunpowder play. His play, Macbeth, is a response to the gunpowder plot. So that part of equivocation, which is the name of the play that we're talking about, my play, is actually rooted very deeply in history. Macbeth is a gunpowder plot play.
And, you know, I guess I knew that, but I didn't know that. And that's wonderful to think about Macbeth, if you know the play at all, to think about it in those terms, because, of course, James was Scottish.
Yep. So it's a Scottish play, and the play itself says, "James, we are all here because your great ancestor was a very good guy, not Macbeth, but Banquo, and you are descended." And the entire play ends. The last line is, "Hail, King of Scotland! Hail, King of Scotland!" So you have a stage full of actors shouting out to the King of England, "Hail, King of Scotland," who I expect probably stood up and applauded very, very lustily.
So as you look back, it's been almost a decade since this play was first performed, and it's been performed a lot. If you were writing it today, and you alluded to this earlier, that, you know, we're in a time now where truth is slippery and suspect, would you change anything?
I don't think so. I think the play the play began at Oregon Shakespeare, and then it moved to played New York, Manhattan Theater Company, Arena Stage. It's done the grand tour. And in each of those productions, small adjustments were made to hone the play. But I think the text as it exists now is pretty much a well-oiled machine. I think it will sound different than it did at the start, because the echoes of the Iraq War are in the original production. But I think the whole idea of alternative facts will inform our understanding of the play now. We truly are now living in a very confusing time, because the idea of alternative facts, the idea that truth has no bearing, you can say anything you want and just assume it'll be taken true, and to oppose that is difficult. You begin to lose your equilibrium, your sense of balance. And what Shakespeare and the Shakespeare company in this play are trying to do is very hard. They're struggling to get a hold of what's true. And what they find out is true is not just a series of facts, but a sense of community, a sense of people committed to one another and committed to one another telling the truth. And I think that's what we're looking for in the world. So I think the resonance will be different, but deeper and stronger.
I can't help but think, as I read the play, that Shakespeare would be having a wonderful time writing right now.
What do you mean when you say that? Let me tease that out a bit.
I think that maybe the circumstances aren't dissimilar than what he was dealing with, just world politics. And I think he might be having some interesting times trying to get them on stage.
Well, here's the difficulty, though. If Shakespeare were writing today and had the same relationship to authority he had on the time, he would be on Donald Trump's payroll, because that's what he was at the time. He was working for the ruler, and the ruler was a compromised man. So the question would be, what would he be turning out? Because this was not a man who was committed to, by and large, an independent viewpoint. This was a man who was committed to getting a lot of money, to having the second biggest house in Stratford, to being an owner of a theater company. He was very much committed to his own self-interest. And in part because of that, in a time in which to have a strong point of view meant you get your head cut off, he prospered. So I don't know. If we were watching the plays that he were writing today, I don't know if I would be with him or the opposition.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to think about. And in your play Equivocation, that's what we see him struggle with.
Yes.
And people keep appealing to his better nature, appealing to his sense of honor and all of that. And he kind of goes back and forth. And Cecil has his number.
Absolutely. He discovers a thing called equivocation, which actually was a philosophical theory at the time. And the easiest way to explain it would be to use, I always use Anne Frank. If you were hiding Anne Frank in your attic during the Second World War, and a Nazi came and knocked on the door and said, sorry, are you hiding the Frank family in your attic? What would the right answer be? The true answer, the absolutely true answer is, yes, I am. But if you give that answer, if you speak that truth, disaster will follow, murder will follow. So the answer that seems untrue, which is to say no, is in fact the deeper truth. And that's called equivocation. Don't answer the question it's being asked. Answer the question beneath the question. So in the play, Shakespeare is trying to use equivocation to get to a deeper truth. And as a matter of fact, all the way through the play Macbeth, Shakespeare is using not only the word equivocation, but the process of equivocation. So equivocating becomes a major element of the play.
Do you feel that you got to the deeper truth through equivocation?
I feel that when the play is done, there is usually a sense of euphoria. There's a speech in the play that I will misquote because it's been a while, but someone says to Shakespeare, the truth, it's not a game, you know. And Shakespeare says in response, of course it's a game. It's the lies that are deadly serious. And he talks about the euphoric nature of actually being able to tell the truth. And what this particular text seems to do for actors is it gives them access to a truth within themselves. And an actor's truth is what frees an audience. It's what makes theater an ecstatic experience. And this particular set of words that I've put on paper seems to give actors and directors a route to find that kind of truth.
Well, here's to ecstatic experiences in the theater. I am all for that. Bill Kane, it has been such a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you so, so much.
Bill Kane's play Equivocation opened this past weekend at Next Act Theater. It runs through February 25th. There is more information at wuwm.com.